Be prepared for highly offensive language and adult and sexual themes.
Previously on Dubious Intent, when Adam had no clue what custard was.
By reinstating Susie Lou's videos and removing the strikes, YouTube is directly getting involved in copyright disputes and reversing a legitimate decision of a copyright owner to take down a video. All 2 days after Christmas, mind you. I'm convinced that there has to be some simp running this operation, because there's no way that someone in their right mind would go out of their way to break the law for Susie Lou. From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for Dubious Tent to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. Dubious Intent is brought to you by Park Pals. If you want to take a little vinyl figurine, pay about $12 for it, and then put it on your desk because people walk by and go, hey, that's a really cool thing, then you need to get a Park Pal. Check them out at parkpals.com, and don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DI for a friendly discount. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the park-free Powell state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Daniel. First of all, I don't know why you selected that horrible intro by Scotty, because...
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. You know, I chose this, Adam, because I do not have access to the Dubious Intent email, and Scotty sent that to my personal email, so it was something that I had available. So it was like one of those two-factor authentication things where it's like, it was something I had and something I knew. So there you go. That's what it was there. But
I was going to say, I do know what custard is, and our new Pride 48 person... one of our new listeners to the Pride 48 shows, Dean Barney,
yes,
tweeted everyone and said I was probably the only one who said the correct description of custard.
So you are now a subject matter expert, an SME on custard.
Yeah, I'm an SME, a SME.
You're a SME,
as we say. Yeah,
you're a SME. Yeah. Adam, you know, this week, we found out at work, because the last thing that we had heard is that we were going to be working from home until May 31st. And so they hadn't given us an update for it. And it was really weird, because I did technical production on the last all hands meeting using Teams live event stuff. And so I saw the script that they were talking from. And in that script, it said that they were going to extend working from home until the end of June, but they totally didn't say that. They like skipped over that part of the script. I'm like, oh, something changed. I don't know what it is. Anyway, long story short, we just found out the other day, we're actually now officially working from home until September 8th. So the day after Labor Day. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah,
well,
we're pretty much home for the rest of the summer.
I did get a email, but it was very cryptic. It was like, we're going to remain working from home until at least the end of next month, and we will have more information and yada, yada, yada. I mean, it didn't give specific dates. It was like,
yeah,
kind of random.
I think that's weird. I think there's a lot of places, like Twitter just announced that their employees that are working remote now can now continue to work remote forever. They basically just set no coming back date. They're like, you know what? Nope. You're now just a remote position. Thank you for playing.
Wow.
Anyway, but here's the thing, Adam, is because, you know, I ran out of podcasts to listen to, because I've started
You got to the end of podcasts.
I had podcasts loaded. Like, I have a routine. Like, I have podcasts that, like, I use Podcast Addict, which has a really nice It has a really nice rules-based system for building the playlist. I can set it by a podcast priority and by date and stuff like that. And then it always jumps to the top of the list. And no matter what I'm listening to, it will pop up. So things that I really want to listen to are at the top of the list. And then things that I, you know, these are things that I listen to when I run out of things.
You ran out, and yet you do not listen to Geeky Gay, or you were not listening.
I'm trying to tell you, Adam.
I'm completely out of podcasts. Nothing
I ended up on one of my fallback podcasts, which is Twit, which I don't like listening to Twit, but it's there and it's, it'll do in a pinch. But I was listening to Twit and it was really old and it was really stupid. And so I was like, you know what? No, I think I'll check out Adam's podcast.
My award-winning
And I just want to say, Adam, yeah. I heard this on your Monday show.
Oh, you know, Daniel takes so long to answer his email.
And then you went on and on about, you know, how much work you had to do with Pride 40. And then at the end of the show, you said...
My apologies, Daniel.
All right. Oh, so you said, like, so in my mind, that's all I hear.
You know, that, Daniel takes so long to answer his emails. My apologies, Daniel.
In fact, Adam, let's see. I know someone in the chat room has.
Did you animate something with those words?
No, no, I was like, saying, but if anyone in the chat room has my my phone number and you want to give me a call, I do have a new ringtone. I'm sure it won't take very long. It's like,
wait,
there it goes.
My apologies, Daniel. Oh, does that bring a smile to your,
my apologies, Daniel. It does. Sorry. I'm doing a show right now. Yeah. No. Going back. Okay. All right. Yeah. Adam, it's my new ringtone. It's the Adam apology ringtone. I was very, very, very happy to get that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, what I was saying is you have had a habit in the past of not answering emails very quickly.
Adam, I heard the whole show. I understood what you were saying.
Some people didn't hear the show. So I'm just explaining what I said. Some people don't listen to my show.
So you used to give me a hard time, but now that you do everything I used to do, plus all the stuff that you used to do, you're like, oh shit, I guess Daniel did do a lot of stuff and it does kind of get caught up on you.
I'll let everyone in on a little secret. If you really want me to respond quickly, do not email me at my Pride48 email address because I forget to check it. Like sometimes I go months and I'm like, oh crap, I have a Pride48 email address. And then I go and then I've literally got something from 2 months ago and I'm like, shit, they're going to be so mad at me. And I know I should forward it to my Gmail.
Yes.
I haven't done it. I don't know why. I'm a procrastinator. But anyway, so I forget. I literally forget that I have, you know.
Right.
There you go.
And it is. It's so hard to
to
set up that forwarding thing. That takes
a lot of steps.
That takes like 30, 40 seconds there to do that. That's, I feel like not enough people take advantage of some of the things in Gmail that you have available to you. Do you know about these tags in Gmail?
Well, I know about labels.
Right. So like if you, there's a certain way that it works where you just add it to your email address. Like it's like your email address
is
adamburnsuk@gmail.com.
Yeah.
But you can give people extra characters and it will come
plus.
So it's like you can plus do adamburnsuk+facebook@gmail.com or whatever. And like you wouldn't give that to a person, but you would sign up for a service that way.
Yeah.
And then that way when it comes in, it's automatically tagged that way. And then you can have a rule set up in Gmail. It's just like, you know what? If I get this shit, just delete it or throw it in this folder or something like that. So yeah.
I actually do that. Yeah.
Well, you can almost do that with Pride48. Just forward it to adamburnsuk+Pride48.
Plus throw them away. No, I'm just kidding. I could do that. I've only done it with Facebook, but I do it for all my, because I get all these notifications from Facebook that so-and-so posted or whatever. And so like all of my Facebook stuff goes to a special folder.
Right. And if you want to hear a truly touching story about customer service at Pride48, then go listen to Geeky Gay. Whatever episode that was.
I don't even remember what
My apologies, Daniel.
I don't know if I said this, but poor Joey, not Joey Buhecker, a different Joey, couldn't get into the website for like 3 months. And, and he was banned. Is the reason.
So Scotty, one of our listeners, Scotty, constantly thinks that you're banning him for things. And in fact, no, you were banning Joey.
It's not
Scotty. So
no. Well, we have a security plugin,
and he knows why
that lets you ban IP addresses.
Right. I heard this show, Adam.
Again, again, this is not for you.
No,
everything
but
I say
people can go and listen. People can go and listen to it. Let's talk about something new.
Okay.
Right. Because I wanted to just get this. The second thing on my list there is really, really fast. I don't know if you knew or not. Or I don't know if you knew. I don't know if you know. What is it? Is that, I don't know if you know. I don't know. Hey, Adam, did you know that?
I think either of those could work, yeah. Depending on.
Hey, Adam, did you know that Walt Disney World started some reopening this past week? On Wednesday, the 20th, Disney Springs reopened to a certain extent.
Yes, I knew that, but the parks haven't opened yet, right? Because Universal was the first one to make their pitch.
Yeah, they made their pitch. So they're going to open early June, like June 5th is what they're aiming for, Universal. But Disney has not made any announcements about the theme parks. That's to be clear. Disney has not yet made any announcements about their theme parks. They're still just indefinitely.
They're seeing how many Japanese tourists die from the one they opened there first. And then,
if it follows what they did in Shanghai, they opened the shopping center about a month before they opened the park. So that makes a lot of sense, right? That gives you about a month to start, to make sure that things are going right and you got things worked out and that you have your cast members trained on stuff. And you also, to reopen a theme park, you got to get all those cast members back or get new cast members and you have to retrain them on some of the new things. So they need some lead time to do that. However, I mean, explains why Universal doesn't, is opening so fast is because their team members are like rude anyways. It's like their team members are completely unhelpful anyway, so they don't need to be retrained.
They had one cute waiter, remember?
Yeah, but he was a third party. He worked for the restaurant. He didn't work for Universal.
I can't remember.
I just remember
name.
That in Universal, I was so sick of getting yelled at by Universal cast members for, I don't know, because they were having a pissy day. That I actually looked at you at one. I believe we actually in line for one of the rides. I had my phone out and was making us dinner reservations at Disney. It's just like I am so fucking over this place. No, we are leaving.
Well, you literally almost. I had to argue with you to get you to stay in line for one of the rides.
It's just like, no, you gotta put your cell phone. Put your cell phone in the thing. It's like, what am I supposed to do in a 2-hour fucking? I can't take a picture. That's my camera. Fuck you, Universal. Anyway, Universal is saying they're going to open it. So is Legoland. I think they made the announcement that they're going to be opening on. Anyway, so here's the thing. So I was looking at the stuff for Disney, and I was watching some of my fellow YouTube Disney channels.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of them went to Disney Springs and showed, what it looked like and where all the signage was on the ground and, how things were working and all the different safety procedures that they had in place. And they were making sure that all the cast members that work there are wearing masks and the guests are required to wear masks and you need to have your temperature checked. Anyway, as I'm watching one of those videos, it slowly dawns on me, pin trading is over. Like there will not be pin trading until there's a vaccine. There's just no possible way that you can have a lanyard around a cast member's neck that you are going to walk up to and look at and like breathe on and touch and whatnot. And then other guests are going to come up and look at it. It's like pin trading is pretty much over. Until there's a vaccine. And I'm like, this is obviously a big, confliction in my mind here because wait, I have a Disney pin trading YouTube channel. It's like, this is done. It is donezo. Put a fork in it.
Well, so I don't necessarily understand pin trading. I mean, I know you go and buy pins and then you trade them.
So there's
another element to this where you need to actually physically go up to the cast members.
Yeah, so there are certain pins that they do not sell. There are certain pins that are only available by trading with a cast member. They're called hidden Mickey pins. So like first thing you have to know is that the lanyards that the cast members are wearing are not theirs. They're given them every day, and they're refreshed by Disney. It's like they're not their own personal pins. They don't care whether you trade them a crappy pin or whatever. As long as you're within the rules of not trading them something that's on their lanyard, they're not going to, I like Pluto, so you can't have my Pluto pin, right? They have to trade with you, and they have a whole set of guidelines for that. But it's not their pin, so they don't care.
This is a whole underground thing that I had no idea even existed.
But yet, that's a big thing. Pin trading is a huge thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's one of those things. It's like, so now, and even if there's still going to be limited edition pins that are going to put out, but I just feel like they're going to put out way less of them because one of the things about those limited edition pins were having these pin shows. Like, they have the quarterly pin trading nights, which are sponsored by Disney, where you just have, hundreds and thousands of pin traders there that have back catalogs of pins that they're trading and whatever. Like, they're not going to be able to do that. They're not going to be able to have that big summer pin event that we were looking forward to. It's like, it's pretty much pin trading is over. It's just done. It's until there's a vaccine, we're done. No more pin trading.
I'm sorry.
I know. It is kind of a bummer.
And all those millions of dollars you're making off of that YouTube channel.
Oh, I'm not. No. I don't care about that. I'm just saying that this is a hobby that Zach and I do. We enjoy pin trading. And it's like one of the things. It's kind of done until you can. Yes, you can. They're asking in the chat room if there's virtual pin trading or can you just throw pins at each other from a safe distance. There are tons of Facebook groups that do pin trading because people that don't live near the parks also like to trade pins out in the wild. You know, they mail them back and forth. But honestly, at that point in time, it becomes, you can't really, there's so many fake pins out there, especially in the hidden Mickey field. It's just like, you can't verify that pin before you make the trade. And you're kind of just, you know, I don't know. It just gets, it's a pain in the ass. The reason I like pin trading is because you can go to the parks and it's something to, because when you live here and you go to the parks all the time, you get bored with doing things at the parks. So this is something that's fun to do at the park that is always changing and always, you know, different. So yeah, that was my sad thought of the week is pin trading is no more.
I'm sorry.
But you know what, Adam?
It'll come back. I'm sure it'll come back.
You know what, Adam? I was listening to your Geeky Gay show on Friday and you were talking about that Democrat mask.
Oh.
Which I see right here, but I wanted to say that it has a tie-in to Disney Springs because there have been people on Twitter, because of course Disney Springs requires you to wear a mask. And there's been people on Twitter like going like, I'm not going to wear a mask if I go there. And it's like they found this loophole, right? Disney will let you take your mask off if you're eating or drinking. If you're actively eating or drinking, you don't have to, you know, you can take the mask off. And so they're like, I'm just going to get a Starbucks, empty Starbucks cup and bring it in with me. I'm just going to hold it all day long and pretend like I'm drinking so I don't have to wear a mask. And it's just like, these motherfuckers.
I remember. The one of the things that annoys you about television shows and movies when they're drinking coffee
is their empty cups.
Yes. So you would be super annoyed if you saw people walking around with empty cups.
I just got to go slap some cups out of people's hands. It's going to be great. Yeah, but I heard you talking about the Democrat, and I have lots of thoughts about this mask thing. So go ahead and tell me about your Democrat mask.
Now, I know I mentioned it on Geeky Gay, but I knew you would have thoughts, and I wanted to talk about it more. Because I was so annoyed. First of all, I've been actively avoiding. I watched a lot of news during the Trump impeachment trials. I started, you know, downloading the Rachel Maddow podcast or whatever. But I can't handle news because it really depresses me. Now, Mark puts the news on all the time and like, I wake up to it every morning and that's bad enough because every morning I wake up to some horrible Trump story. But anyway, so my parents I try to avoid having political conversations with them because it really just saddens me. However, they voted for Trump the first time. They're Republicans, you know, whatever. So my parents come over, but I don't know if they're going to vote for him again, but maybe they will. Maybe they will. So, so they come in, they're going to go over to so our family has a cabin sort of thing in a town nearby, and it's on the river, Buffalo River, and it's camping and canoeing and whatever. And our family always gets, a lot of our family members get together on like Memorial Day, Labor Day, 4th of July, yada, yada. So some of the family members, I guess, decided they were still going to do that, even though COVID's happening. And so we're keeping the dog. We're keeping my parents' dog. So they come in on Friday. And they interrupt me recording my show. But anyway, they come in and go down. And my mom, who I thought was a reasonable person, starts talking about, she's like, well, your Aunt Pam's coming. But, you know, she's got to wear her Democrat mask the whole time. And, you know, she's not even going to use the same bathroom. And they're not going to spend the night. They're going to leave every night. She's probably not even going to hug me. She's like, it's just ridiculous. We're family. I mean, I know there's stuff going on.
Well,
but,
you know. It's been proven, you know, Adam, that the virus will not infect family members. It's one of those things.
Right.
It's a scientific fact.
And then I was like, I hadn't even, because I've been, I don't watch news. So I had not heard the term Democrat mask. I was like, yeah. Democrat mask? What?
So what? Here's the thing. It's now been turned into this partisan bullshit thing. And it's so demonstrably false because I work with doctors, right? It's like I work in the healthcare industry. I work with doctors. And you're not going to find a larger concentration of Republicans in the world than you are at a medical conference. It's like these, you know, our clients are Republicans. They're independent business owners. That's what doctors are. And they just tend to just be very dyed-in-the-wool Republicans. It's just always been that way, and that's how it is. It's like the medical profession is incredibly conservative. They're, you know, they will tell you. It's like all right, here's the problem. Oh, no, now you've pulled out the credit card and you're typing it up to yours. You're like, oh, I'm shit.
No, I'm
oh,
just,
shit,
no,
I'm bored now.
No, oh, no, I'm God. Not bored.
No, go ahead, Grandpa. Tell me about the...
I fiddle with things. You know this. I fiddle with this razor blade that I've got. You know, at least I didn't get out the razor blade.
Here's the thing. Is that there are different scenarios in which you would want to wear a mask. So there is the, I'm going to wear this mask to protect myself scenario. And that is the mask that we initially were talking about when the whole pandemic thing first started. And we were talking about N95 masks, right? So we're talking about the 95 and N95 means that it filters out 95% of the environment. And that is the mask that we need for medical workers and frontline workers that are coming into contact with people who are contagious, right? So that they can filter in the air that they breathe.
Yes.
And that's one use of the mask. And that use of the mask seems to be the only thing that people are locking onto and talking about when they talk about wanting to wear a mask, right? It's like, however, there's another use case scenario for wearing a mask, and that is to cut down on your breath profile. To cut down, like, we know that you catch this virus through, you know, globules, mod, you know, whatever you want to call the your breath globules, right?
It's, sputum.
Yeah. It's like you catch this virus through breathing in air that has been in, you know, has the virus floating around, and these little moisture globules that we all expel as we talk and breathe. Mm-hmm. And that is the primary way in which you catch this virus. Is it a respiratory disease? It has to go in through your mouth or through your nose. It's like, there's a lot of people that were just like, oh, your ears and your eyes are still, you know, uncovered. And so, you know, your mask isn't going to protect you whatsoever. It's like, all right, first of all, it's a respiratory virus. It doesn't go in through your eyes. It doesn't go in through your ears. It doesn't go in through your skin. You actually have to breathe it in. All right. Secondly, you're not wearing the mask to protect yourself. This is the second use case scenario, which is what everyone other than frontline workers should be doing, which is just, I'm wearing this mask to cut down on the distance that the moisture from my breath travels. Because
it's a globule trap.
Correct. And it doesn't even have to be a good mask. There are studies that show, The Atlantic has linked to those scientific studies that show, it's like even a mask that is only 30% effective, which is basically like holding a napkin, like putting a napkin, like a little paper napkin across your mouth, right? So it's like even a mask that's only 30% effective at, you know, blocking your breath from going out, it means that 70% of your breath can travel through it. It only blocks 30% of it. Even that kind of mask, even that flimsy of a mask, will actually cut down the R-naught value by a full point. So it's like we can actually be at like R-naught 0.7 if the public was wearing masks to prevent their breath from traveling too far. You still have to do social distancing, right? It's like it doesn't completely eliminate your breath coming out, right? It just cuts it down so that the utmost that it would possibly travel would be 6 feet, right? 6 feet is kind of like the average that it travels without a mask. So it's like wearing a mask means that, well, that doubly makes that 6 feet, feet, you know, a viable thing. But I see this all the time. And I actually had this this quasi argument with Arthur from Amarins on this, because he posted something along the lines of, well, if your mask gets damp, you have to replace it. And, you know, a damp mask is completely ineffective, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like stating a lot of things that are true when you're talking about the N95 medical masks that are used to protect you from getting the virus, that are completely not true when you're wearing a mask to protect other people. It can be damp, it can be soaking wet, it can be made out of paper, it can be made out of cloth. It's like literally anything in front of your mouth is going to block, you know, the distance that those globules thing, and it will help. It will help tremendously.
Yes, I totally agree. And I will say, so, and then my mom, you know, she goes on to talk about, oh, well, they've just made it so political now. And it's all, and you know,
yes,
your aunt, you know, she's so liberal.
Wait, wait, aunt isn't the one calling it a fucking Democrat mask.
I know. And then I'm like, well, you know, because I want to avoid these conversations with them. So I kind of just roll my eyes, whatever. And then, you know, she even goes into, well, I know you and Mark don't like Trump, but, you know, but your aunt, anyway, going in, and I wanted to be like, I told Mark, I'm like, you know, next time we see my parents, we need to both have masks on and literally write the word Democrat across the mask.
There's a, actually,
or like,
yeah, there's quite a few masks. I know that Seder 69, one of our listeners, has a mask that like says thanks Trump on it. There's other ones that, that have other like more vulgar Trump sayings
but,
on them.
So I go, anyway, so my parents sadden me. But and the older they get, the more ridiculous and Republican and conservative they get.
Yes.
Except still, how you support Trump and say you're also conservative, like, I've, like, no, it doesn't even, my brain wants to explode. No, but anyway.
It's that whole sports team analogy thing.
Regardless, it really bothers me. But to just add one more thing to this story. So Mark and I went shopping today. We're looking for mirrors for our new house. And because they put crappy mirrors in the bathrooms, and so they gave us an allowance to buy our own before we close, and they'll repay us or whatever.
Yeah.
So we went, and I'm, you know, I do feel self-conscious because I'm telling you, I live in Arkansas, one of those states, you know, with rebellious people.
Yeah, Arkansas never had a stay-at-home order, right?
Rebellious, stupid people. And a lot of people are not wearing masks. And so we put on our masks. We're going to the store. And this big, bald, redneck looking motherfucker, like, looked at us and, like, shook his head and made a noise, like, ugh. Or not like that, because that was very gay sounding. But, I mean, it was very obvious that he was displeased with us. And it offended me to my, like an hour later, I was still thinking about this guy. Like, why are you fucking shaking your head at me?
Oh, I know.
You're not wearing a mask. I'm wearing a mask. I'm doing what the CDC has told, not the president, not, you know, it's not a Republican Democrat thing. I am doing what, oh, Archer in the chat room says that was because you're gay. I don't know. I mean, it's not like we had gay flags, you know, on us or anything like that, but. And normally we don't get heads shook at us, and we walk around all the time together. So I think it was because of the mask. Anyway, it's ridiculous. And I do, you know, I'm a self-conscious person. I don't want people to be upset with me. So now I feel like I'm wearing a thing that at least half of the people that I come in contact with are going to be judging me. Yep. Silently.
Oh, yeah, and I will be one of those people. Like, if I go back to Disney and they, you know, require that you wear a mask, and there's people there that are not wearing masks, I don't know what I'm going to do. I want to see some of this get enforced. Are you familiar with Tyler from Costco, Adam?
No, I'm not. I have some audio here.
So this Mr. Instagram, who has 3,000 followers, thought he was going to be, you know, Mr. Freedom Fighter. He went to a Costco, here's the thing. This is not covered in this. You're not allowed in Costco without a mask. Like, they will stop you at the door. They don't let you into the store.
Yeah.
And he, at the time that he's filming this video, is in the checkout or trying to go to the checkout line and has a cart full of stuff and everything. So you have to understand the sickness of this Mr. 3000 Instagram follower guy. He went into Costco wearing a mask, did his shopping, and then took off his mask at the end there in order to get himself, yeah, you know, yeah, popular on Instagram. He's like, look at me. Fuck you, authority. Ha, ha, ha. I'm not going to. So this little queen, love him to death. His name is Tyler. He's since forth become like a rock star on Twitter. So Tyler, that works for Costco. He basically takes control here. Here's the audio.
I just put you on my 3,000 follower Instagram feed, mostly locals.
Hi, everyone. I work for Costco, and I'm asking this member to put on a mask because that is our company policy. So either wear the mask.
And I'm not doing it because I woke up in a free country.
Have a great day.
So you're going to take this car from me.
Sir, have a great
full
day.
Of stuff.
You are no longer welcome here in our warehouse. You need to leave. Thank you very
here,
much.
You put it on. I'll give you my card. He's going to take the card away because he's a There he is, walking away with all my stuff.
Now, I didn't bleep that. That was bleeped on the source that I got that audio from. But yeah, yeah. No, so that was Tyler. People have since found him on Twitter, and like, you can find his Twitter account and everything. He and his boyfriend just went on a cruise before the whole coronavirus thing. Anyway, so Tyler is like a rock star here, but he's like, yeah.
Because that makes me so mad. Because I woke up in a free country.
Yes.
Did you wake up in a country without a brain as well?
I refused to wear a mask because I woke up in a free country. One of my favorite clapbacks of that was like, are you also the owner of Costco? Because if not, then you don't set their company policies. So fuck you. It's just like, yes, you woke up in a free country, a country where it's free for companies to make their own policies that you have to follow if you want to be there. It's the whole thing is just, you know, they're trying to wrap it up in this freedom thing and this, you know, I'm sorry. I know this is going to upset you.
Is it?
But this is the embodiment or the, what am I looking for? Exemplar. This is white privilege. This is, and like, if you were to, you know, can someone please give me an example of white privilege? It's like, this would be white privilege. Thinking that, your rights are somehow being impinged because you're required to wear a mask inside of a private establishment during a pandemic. Thinking that that is somehow an assault on your rights means that your rights have never, ever, ever been, challenged or taken away from you or threatened in any way. You are so comfortable in the fact that you have all the rights and are at the top of the food chain that you're going to like pick this stupid. There's a reason that you don't see gay people, black people, people of color, Latinx people going out there and saying these kind of stupid things. These are all a bunch of stupid fucking white people who just have no concept of what an infringement of a right actually is. Thank you. Get off my soapbox now. Thank you.
No, I'm not mad about that. I totally agree. Mark made a good analogy. He made a good comparison. He said these same people that are saying they should be served even though they're choosing not to wear masks would be horrified if we tried to say a business had to serve a gay person.
Yeah. Or a senator failed to wear an American flag pin on his lapel, or you know, somebody forgot to, like on TV, forgot to hold their hand over their heart, or someone, God forbid, had a celebratory barbecue on Memorial Day because it's Memorial Day and blah blah blah, and you gotta respect the troops and blah blah blah. It's just like here's the thing. Monday is Memorial Day, and you know what I will be remembering on Memorial Day, Adam?
I don't.
100,000 Americans that have died. 100,000 Americans that have died from this stupid fucking pandemic because there's been zero federal leadership on this. There's been zero. It's like everything is clear as fucking mud here from a federal level. It's like this has been mishandled and misdone to such an extent that it is just absolutely, it's all at the feet of Donald J. Trump.
Amen.
All right. Moving on with that. So, Adam, you went hot tub. No, it's like. We need to make a decision.
Speaking of viruses.
Yeah, we need to make a decision here because that number three on mine is kind of big, but I can do that next week. So
mine is very short.
Okay.
Or could be.
Yeah, well, then I'll my number four is really short. So go ahead and do yours. So
I'm not looking at the list.
Those are incredibly technical behind the scenes conversations that we have here on Dubious Intent. You do that. No, I'll do this. No, we're just pointing at things.
So we've been, I think I've mentioned before, I'm not sure about on this show because we've only started back a few weeks ago, but I've wanted a hot tub for like my entire life. Like, I've never owned a hot tub. I didn't have a hot tub growing up, but every time I go to a hotel or any place there's a hot tub, I'm getting in that hot tub.
You have even in the past when we've been in Las Vegas for events, have stayed at a different hotel that had a hot tub offering.
Yes.
Instead of staying at the hotel where everything was hosted at.
Yeah. So Mark would not, now, I mean, he can't force me to do anything, but he has said, hey, I don't think it would be a smart idea for you to buy a hot tub while we're renting a home. Like, so we've been renting for the past 6 years together.
Now he said, so he said that 6 years ago thinking, okay, this conversation's over. And now you're buying a house. So now it's all coming home to roost for poor Mittens.
No, so I keep bringing it up every time we move. I'm like, you know,
can we get a hot tub now, George? Hey, George, can we get a hot tub? I will get a hot tub. I will pet it and make it warm and blow bubbles in it. I will call it Steve.
Yeah, and so anyway, this last one that we've been in this current home for 2 years, and when we first moved in here, I was like, you know what? Who knows when we're going to buy? I should just go ahead and get a hot tub. I'll just get a small one, you know, a two-seater. And it'll fit in our little side yard. He's like, no, He's like, you really don't want to do that. We're going to buy a house eventually.
You get those ones that just have the wait. Door on them. You know, saying like you just get one of those.
They have a hot tub with the doors that have the bathtub.
Yeah, but those are for old people. But Medicare will pay for part of that. So you just basically you just turn that into a hot. No, I'm putting that tub outside because I like to bathe outside.
Yeah. No. Anyway, so when we started looking for house, I said, "Hey, I'm going to be able to buy a hot tub." So there are a couple of things about that, and he said, "Yep, that's fine." Well, I mean, he's not paying for it; I am. But anyway, he's like, "Yep, you know, now that we're buying, I think it'd be a fine time for you to do it or whatever." But the thing is, now I've got so many things I want to do. It's like, do I do a hot tub now? Because, you know, I want to plant some trees in the backyard and we need a bigger patio to put the hot tub on. All that's going to cost money.
Right.
So that means like all this preparatory work and landscaping and like all this stuff that needs to be done. Then if I'm going to buy a hot tub, I'm probably going to need to like put it on
some kind of credit.
Credit.
Yeah, yep.
Which I don't do. I pay my credit cards off every month.
You don't have a special hot tub mattress that's just filled with singles?
No. And because I really do want to plant some trees. I want some privacy in the backyard. I want to put some flowers back there.
I've seen that backyard. There's nothing back there.
I want to extend the patio. So we need to have a company come out and pour some concrete or put pavers or whatever. So we're going to spend a few $1,000s in the back at least. And now I'm like, oh my God, maybe I need to wait another year for my next bonus and, you know, wait. And so there's that. So, I mean, I was going to get, you know, an opinion on that. And I can kind of see your opinion from what your face is looking like.
What?
You're like, yeah, I think you're right. You probably need to wait. And then Archer in the chat room saying you need to wait. But the other thing I wanted to run past you is, I don't know if you're a hot tub expert.
Yeah.
But
I am not.
Kathy Bacon has told me that if and when I do buy a hot tub, that I have to get a saltwater hot tub. Now, there are two things to this.
Yes.
First of all, I have not been able to find a saltwater hot tub.
Listed. So is like Kathy Bacon like have a hot tub on a yacht or something? Is it like that it gets filled from the seawater or whatnot? It's like what?
No, apparently
she's in South fucking Dakota. Where is there saltwater anywhere near South Dakota?
No. So these saltwater pools and saltwater hot tubs or whatever, you put in a certain number. There's a special filter and all this and this special thing where you don't put chemicals in it.
Oh,
you put salt.
Okay.
And then some chemical reaction that happens
yes, okay,
in the whatever.
Okay, got it. So there's several campgrounds that I've gone to that have saltwater pools. Okay.
Okay, I knew pools existed, but I didn't know hot tubs did, and I can't find them. I'm going to have to go to a hot tub dealer. The only thing I found online is how to convert your existing hot tub over to salt water. So, A, I don't know if these things exist or you have to, pay some. Like, maybe these are normally in-the-ground hot tubs that you've had, a professional.
It's probably you can just use it. So, all right, you have to understand that the if you were to just... set up a big tub out in your backyard and fill it with rainwater.
Yeah.
And just let it...
Bacteria would grow.
Yeah, right? And so the things that cut down on that bacteria are chloride.
Chlorine.
So if you put water from your sink or water from the hose into that that same tub and let it sit out there, it will not grow mold or what am I trying... Fungus. It will not grow fungus for a little while, but then after a few weeks, it'll start growing fungus.
Yeah, I had a pool growing up.
So the reason I'm trying to tell you, the reason for that is that chlorine, when it binds to the molecules that make that prevent the mold from happening, whatever that is called, it actually destroys that molecule, and so you constantly have to refresh the chlorine. So it's one of those you constantly every week you have to test the water and then update the chlorine content in it and blah blah blah. At the same time, it's bleach, right? So you can't put too much in it because then it will hurt your skin if you're in it, right? So it's this weird chemical thing that you have to do. Now, you think about places like Disney that have big huge water rides, right? Well, they don't want fungus growing in that water, right? So but they don't use chlorine. They use bromine. Which the difference between chlorine and bromine is that bromine will actually, when it binds to the molecules that prevent the fungus from happening, it stays intact. And so it can continually refresh the water. So putting bromine in water is one of those things that will allow it to last pretty much forever right, without you having to constantly adjust the chemicals. The reason we don't use them in pools is because bromine tends to leave like a slimy feeling on your skin, and so it would just be an unpleasant experience for people. However,
I think Kathy has a bromine hot tub.
However, though, no, it's not bromine. But however, what the difference is, bromine is in the salt family, and I think what it is like by using salt water, you get some of the benefits of the bromine so that you can go further between times that you actually have to refresh the chemicals that are in your water.
I don't know. She said she doesn't
That's
like the smell.
That's all coming from
the
all right, look, our chat room has told me here, Faye Driver says in our chat room, saltwater sanitation is much cheaper and less toxic than chlorine systems. It's easier to maintain saltwater system. So there it is. So it's exactly what I'm saying. Bromine lasts a lot longer, but it's unpleasant. But apparently salt water will last much longer than chlorine and is not an unpleasant experience to smell.
And it doesn't make you smell correct, bad yes, when you get in out so of it and all that kind of stuff. So bottom line is, and I don't know, I can't find one of these things. So there was an ad that came
but that's
on
what
the
I'm
radio
trying to tell
where they're like,
I don't think you don't need it. It's still water.
No, you have to have a special system that supports salt water. Like it's a different filter. So there's a certain electrochemical thing that happens. You put the salt in, there's a special kind of filter, special kind of system that you have to have. You don't just pour table salt in your water and you're good. You have to have a special kind of like filter and all that. I know this much. My parents had a saltwater pool and it's a whole like system that you have to put in. But anyway, I haven't found one of those for a hot tub. All I found is how to convert yours. I don't know how much this is going to cost.
All right. So if you know about saltwater hot tubs, please send an email to contact@dubiousintent.com. Maybe we can have you on the show. Maybe we can bring someone on the show and we can interview them about saltwater hot tubs.
Is it going to be twice as expensive? You know?
Yeah. All those things. We can ask them all those things. So if you want to share your knowledge, your subject matter expertise in hot tubs, saltwater hot tubs, then send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. So is number 7 real fast?
Oh, I don't know what it is, but I don't have to talk about it. You had something, so go.
No, I didn't.
You said you were going to talk about number 4.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Okay.
Dubious Intent birthday segment. The segment of the show where Adam will read me clues to different celebrities' birthdays that they may be having. And I, using only my head, brain, and mouth words, will give him the answer as to who it is without cheating and looking in the chat room, unless I get completely stumped, in which case I will totally cheat and look at the chat room. Adam,
yes.
Who is our first celebrity birthday this week?
One more thing.
Yes.
There is a sale at the local fairgrounds all weekend on hot tubs and whatever. And they had an ad on the radio where they're like, Bentonville Fairgrounds.
Get
your hot tub, you know. And it's like, okay. I was like, maybe it's a sign from Jesus. You know, maybe we need to go.
Hi,
look.
Larry from the hot tub store, and I've gone insane. I've slashed prices so deep. It's not believable. I don't got nothing.
They said up to 80%.
I'm assuming
off.
That's what an Arkansas hot tub dealer sounds like. I didn't have long to make that character, but he's fully realized in my head. He has a wife named Doris and a child named Agnes.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's go.
This is the theme to 30 Rock. In my opinion, has been one of the greatest themes on televisions because it is less than 30 seconds.
Oh, great. I assume you don't know because there are a lot.
There's a huge cast on 30 Rock. Yes.
All right. Well, here's our next clue.
All right. This is not much help either. This is the theme to Saturday Night Live.
That's true.
And
that's an ensemble cast as well.
Let's see. I know Tina Fey is on both of those. Alec Baldwin is on both of those. Go ahead. What else? It's like
I do have a third.
All right.
One,
what's
luckily.
The third one? Here?
So let's do number three.
Oh, this is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
It is.
I watched the first season of that, and I just never went back and watched season two and three. I think people said season two kind of got weird, and so I just never watched. So I now that I'm home till September, I guess maybe I'll check it out again. Anyway, all right, I know with this. So Tina Fey was the executive producer of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. So I'm going to go with Tina Fey. Is it Tina Fey, Adam?
It is Tina Fey. Yes. Right. There's not much she's been in by herself. Nothing she's been in by
she
herself.
She did do a movie.
There are no theme music to movies that I can play.
It was a pretty dark movie. Yeah, I don't think there'd be.
Tina Fey is 50 years old.
50 years young.
Yeah, here we go. All right, here's our next one. You'll probably get it on the first one, but.
These nights never seem to go to plan. I don't want you to leave. Will you hold my hand? Oh, won't you stay with me?
All right. The song is Stay With Me. Do you have another clue or is that?
I do have another one. Yeah.
I don't know the name of the guy that sings this. Is it Sam? Is Sam something? Sam Smith?
It is Sam Smith.
Oh, it is Sam Smith. So I get a ta-da.
The most generic last name.
I can't believe Sam. I'm very proud of myself for getting that.
Smith Jones Smith. Yeah. Sam Smith. Sam Smith is 28 years old.
Sam Samson.
All right. Here is our next one.
All right. Unless this has changed since last week, this is the theme to The Facts of Life. Yes.
It is. I love that theme song. This one's hard. I've got three. I'm going to do this one, and let's see.
Just cork it. You see this bag?
No, why it's...
All right. So is it the voice actress of that
it
character?
It is.
All right. So by process of elimination here, I know that it is not Kim Fields, because Tootie's birthday was last week. I know that it is not... Blair, what's her name? Because she was on Survivor.
Lisa
Welser, because she's like a big Christian person and like had a real hard problem with the industry and whatnot. I'm going to say it's Mindy Cohn who played Natalie.
It is Mindy Cohn.
Mindy Cohn. Yep.
She is a recurring voice on all the Scooby-Doo cartoons.
Oh, really?
For the past, 15 years or something. She plays Daphne.
Wow.
On like all of the Scooby-Doo stuff. And that was her. And most of what she's done since The Facts of Life have been little one episode, bit parts or whatever on TV shows, other than all the Facts of Life reunion movies.
Right.
It was like Facts of Life, bit parts, or little tiny one episode things. Facts of Life reunion, more little one episode things, Facts of Life reunion. And then she started doing like the Scooby-Doo thing. So there's like nothing. Anyway. All right. Yeah. She is 54 years old. She was on Worst Cooks in America a couple of years ago.
So some interesting facts of life trivia from our chat room. Mackenzie Aston, who was on the last few years, blew through all of the money he made on the show when he turned 18. His mother, Patty Duke, talked about it in her Television Academy interview. Now here's the thing that floored me. I not surprised that he blew through all his money by the time he was 18. He's Patty Duke's son was on the show. He's like, I didn't know that. Mackenzie Aston.
Yeah, he was during the Cloris Leachman years. He was like, I don't know if he was a runaway, but he was some downtrodden teenage boy. And he ended up living with them. Like, I don't know if she adopted him.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember him. Yeah, I remember his.
And he worked at the store.
I can't believe he was Patty Duke's son, though. Oh, and he's Sean Astin's brother. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wait, Patty Duke is Sean Astin's... Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes.
Mind blown.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
She is. So think about that. Kathy
what about aunt. Yeah, what about Kathy?
Yeah, well, she's the aunt.
So Kathy is the aunt. They're her identical cousin.
She loves a Ballet Russe and Crepe Suzette. And
Patty's into rock and roll. You know, a hot dog will make her lose control.
Yeah. What a wild duet. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Here is, actually, that wouldn't be the aunt because they were cousins.
Yeah, so anyway, it's second cousin. It would be second.
Here's the next
second
one.
Cousin Kathy.
54. I think I said that already. Here's the next one.
All right, this is a Cher, bitch.
It is. I went way back in
you
the
did.
Catalog
you
to try
to
confuse
there. Yeah.
You
no, that's Cher,
a
bitch.
Little bit. Here's a more recent, well, not really, but a gay anthem.
I'm auto-tuned to death.
I can't tell you how many times in Dallas I went into a club and that was playing.
Wow.
So many times. Anyway. Yeah, Cher is 74 years old.
I didn't get myself a ta-da for that, but yeah, Cher. Nice, 74 years old. Cher. You know, the thing that I was going to talk about, that I'm not going to talk about, but I'll just say this. I've been rewatching some old episode or some old seasons of Drag Race, and I just saw the episode, the season 4, which is the Willem slash Chad Michaels, whatever. So, Chad, I've just seen Chad do Cher for like the entire season. And so that's why Cher is like fresh in my mind there.
But I may not have seen that.
Here's the thing that blew my mind, Adam. Did you know that there was a queen named Dita Ritz that actually made it to the top 5? It's like, I would have failed that trivia question if you had asked me that just a few weeks ago. Like, hey, but was there ever a drag queen on RuPaul's Drag Race named The Princess? I would have been like, no, I've never heard of her. Nope, there's never been a drag queen named The Princess. It's like, how about Madame Laqueur? And she's like, nope, there's never been one
I've never heard of
named
that.
Madame Laqueur. How about Dita Ritz? No, but let me just blow your mind here. Those not only are they all three contestants on that season of RuPaul's Drag Race, but Dita Ritz made it to fucking number 5? It's like, I'm blown away.
Mark and I are, so he actually subscribed to the MTV channel, whatever you want to call it, on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. So, and they have a bunch of past seasons of RuPaul on there. So we've been watching. So there's the one that we're watching is like All Stars. I don't know if this was All Stars. Anyway, whatever we watched, there was one called Ben de la Creme.
Yes. Ben de la Creme was on season 5.
Now, let me tell you. So
and
Ben
on
de,
All
yeah,
Stars
it was.
Two.
It is All Stars. All Stars.
He was on All Stars.
I think All Stars 3.
Sure.
I think it was 3. We'll but three. Anyway, we were watching it. And spoiler alert.
Yes.
But he quits.
Yeah.
He does like a...
He votes himself. He votes himself
off
the island.
He writes his own name on the thing. It's the craziest thing. I thought RuPaul was literally going to... But anyway, what I was going to say is he looks like he's doing Michelle Visage. Like, they could be twins. Anyway, that's
you know, in season, right, in season 4, Sharon Needles did Michelle Visage in Snatch Game.
Oh, wow. I don't think I've seen that one. But anyway,
it's actually a really good season.
Also, Ben de la Creme should have won that season.
Oh, yeah.
Had she not quit. Also, she was doing a world tour this year, but it got postponed because of the coronavirus. Yeah. So, if anybody wants to see her next year, world tour. All right. Last birthday.
Last birthday. Here we go. Bum, bum, bum. All right. This is it's a theme to the A-Team. Starring B.A. Baracus, Face, Murdoch, and I forget the colonel's name.
Yes, it is. All right. I know it's an ensemble cast, so I have one more.
All right. This is Eye of the Tiger, which was the theme to Rocky 2. Was it?
Close, but not Rocky 2.
Rocky 3? All right.
Yes.
And the I believe his the boxer that he was fighting in Rocky 3 was Mr. T. So I'm going to go with Mr. T. He is in both of those shows. Yes.
Shut up, fool. It is Mr. T. Mr. T. Let's see. You know, speaking of old celebrities who you don't see around very much anymore, like all of these basically, other than like Tina Fey. I saw Barbara Eden posted something on YouTube with her bottle. Like, she's like 90-something and with her genie bottle. And I just remembered she was also on Celebrity Worst Cooks. Anyway, Mr. T is 68 years old.
Cool. All right. Well.
And that you got every one of those, and that is the last one.
Yay!
Thank you so much for helping me sing my way to La Fiesta.
excellent. Gotcha. We were doing some, what were we doing there? We were doing some kind of charades. I was trying to ask Adam.
Dictionary charades.
I'm trying to ask Adam as the Dory song is playing out there. Wait, do we have contact? Do we have contact? We do have contact. What do we have, Adam?
Yeah. We have an email from Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Anna, I hope you were okay with us using your name.
Hi, Anna.
So it says, I genuinely could not believe when I saw Dubious Intent turn up in my feed again. I thought I was seeing things. Even if it is only for a short amount of time, I'm so happy to be hearing you guys again. You were the first vaguely LGBT podcast that I listened to, vaguely, which was especially impactful for me at the time because I was a young teenager that was very much alone when it came to my sexuality.
Aww.
I was the only person I knew who was attracted to the same sex, made harder by the fact that I went to a single-sex school. Being able to hear people live regular lives, be regular people, and also be LGBT was a huge boost for me. Up to that point, I had only really heard about how hard it could be, and that made me infinitely scared.
Aww.
Through your podcast and Big Fatties, I started listening to more shows on the Pride 48 Network, and even today,
well, yeah,
they are great.
Well, yeah, because if you listen to Big Fatty, you're like, that's your first thought. Is like, what other shows can I possibly listen to?
Yeah, exactly. And even today, even though most of them have podfaded, no, that was something I added in. They are great sources of comfort and entertainment. I regretted not reaching out and letting you know how much you meant to me before your show ended, so I'm doing so now.
Aww.
Your show was a huge factor in why I'm so comfortable with my sexuality now, and for that, I am immensely grateful. I hope you both have been well over the years. Yes, thank you for asking. I don't know about Daniel.
I've been great.
We didn't talk after we ended, so, you know, it's...
That's actually a true story.
Doing.
Yeah.
Good. And I look forward to hearing any other episodes you decide to release. Anna.
Aw, well, thank you, Anna. That's, I always love it when we get... You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's one of the things is like, we don't do the Patreon thing. We don't charge for this because this is not anything other than a hobby. This is just something that you and I both shared a love of radio and talk radio specifically back when we first started out. It's just something that we just like to do, right?
Yes.
But yeah, it's always just, it's always floored me when we meet people that have listened for a long time and like, and you get to hear how you've actually like made some tiny bit of difference in people's minds. It was really, really, super nice. And, thank you so much. It's like, I can see right behind you there, there's a Pride 48 poster there that just has all people's signatures on it from the times that we were there. Like,
yep.
I've got two of them framed over here that have, you know,
I have three shadow boxes. So you see one, but there's three
shadow
boxes there.
Yeah. My fifth anniversary. And yeah. That's your fifth anniversary. Yeah. My fifth anniversary is right over there. And
I used to have them behind me, but the glass glared. So right now they're in the floor, but in the new studio, I'm going to find some place to put
them.
But anyway.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Anna. Do we have anything else?
Thank you. That was it for today.
But no voicemail. Did who called last week? Somebody called last week that you thought was young and hot. They clearly didn't call back.
Yeah, no, I didn't say hot. I mean, maybe he is hot. I have no idea. I just said he sounded young. No, we got no voicemails.
Oh, okay. What's our voicemail number?
It is 479-221-9393.
All right. Yeah, so I didn't talk about number four earlier because I was going to talk about number four afterwards. So here's the thing. Are you familiar with this Quibi?
I want to say it's those short...
Yes. All right. So Quibi...
short streaming
things. Quibi is this service that has been being pitched for the last like year or two. And it's the brainchild, and you can't see this because this is not a video podcast, but I'm doing scare quotes around brainchild. But the brainchild behind this was Jeffrey Katzenberg. You know, so it's got this big Hollywood... And this was the thought process that went through his head. He's like, hey... You know what people would really, really like to do is to watch short content, like while they're standing in line at the store or while they're... and so what we're going to do is we're going to hire big name directors like Steven Spielberg and, I can't even think of other... Jordan Peele. And like we're going to get these really big name directors to make a quality, you know, series or a story that is broken up into like... chunks that are no more than 7 to 10 minutes long, and then play them on this service that you can only get on your phone. And oh, by the way, it's $5 a month.
Yeah.
Now, this was such a horrible, stupid idea from the get-go. right? It's just like, this was one of those things. It's like, all right, the thing about TikTok and YouTube and things like that is that it doesn't cost any money. So it's like watching shorter content is not necessarily the reason that people are watching that. It's watching it because it's very easy to do.
Well,
and I can just pull it up and watch it, right?
I think that also the shorter content that people normally watch, like TikTok and YouTube and all those other ones that have come before, is also, these are real people.
Yes.
Like, right, who you grow, right, to, right, like.
Exactly.
And, you know, kind of like podcasting, where it's, yep, like, you know, yep, whereas I feel like, and I haven't watched anything,
right, no,
on
but
Quibi,
scripted stuff.
But
is scripted,
I feel like,
yeah,
these are scripted.
Oh yeah, it's
things,
totally scripted.
Right?
Totally scripted. And it's like,
so,
but here's,
so that's another, yeah, difference.
But here's, it's one of those things where it's like, this is just like that typical big business thought process of like, well, you know, people used to pay us billions of dollars to watch our movies, and that money has been drying up because they're now watching the shorter content. Clearly, if we go over and make that content, they're going to want to pay to watch our stuff because we're so good at what we do. Anyway, it was a horrible idea. It was an absolutely horrible idea, and I laughed about it every time that I ever, you know, read about it in this guy, because it was so, it was like, you know, Jeffrey Katzenberg spending $100 million on Quibi, and, you know, and he's going to be the biggest thing ever, and he's got more people to, like, you know, to subscribe into it, and blah, 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 and hey, Quibi's going to be given away for 3 months for free before you have to pay the $5 a month for it, and that's going to change the entertainment world. All right, Adam, Quibi launched about a week and a half before the COVID-19 became a pandemic. And so now this horrible, stupid, shitty idea, something that would have failed miserably, they're now able to save face by going like, oh, it's the coronavirus. That's like, people aren't waiting in line at the stores anymore. So that's why this would is a great idea. This totally would have worked if it was only not for the fact that, you know, people aren't commuting and standing in line and everything, because they would totally pay us, you know, the $5 a month to do this and everything. So you can't, it's just like, oh, it was one of those things where it's like, you know, like the villain of the story, like somehow escapes justice, you know, by like having some patsy there or whatever. It's just like, this Quibi was such a stupid idea. It is still a stupid idea. It is a stupid idea. It's a stupid product. And it's like, there's absolutely no one has any kind of a finger on any kind of a pulse of what people want would say, oh, that's something that people want.
Well, I will say this as well. I've heard a lot of YouTubers saying that now it's better for them to make longer content. And so a lot of the YouTubers are going to longer content. Now, that may just be because of monetization and stuff like that. But I have always liked longer content. I don't want I like Netflix. I like to sit around and binge like entire seasons of things. Like, I don't want little 5 minute,
you know what, Adam? I mean,
episodes of whatever.
I'm all over, you know, the map on that. Like, sometimes that I want short sermons, sometimes I want light. It really depends on what it is I'm trying to do. Like, if I'm about to go out and mow the yard and I want to listen to a podcast while I'm mowing the yard, you know, I'm not necessarily going to pick a 2 hour long podcast because it doesn't take me that long to mow the yard. But if I'm commuting, you know, yeah, I have longer podcasts in my commute that stretch over not just the morning commute, but also the afternoon commute and maybe part of the next morning commute, right? It's like, there's, you know, there's a lot of different size podcasts that I listen to for a lot of different reasons and a lot of different ways, right? So it's like, I think it's always, you know, podcasting has matured enough that it's no longer just a case of like, oh, you should make a short one. Oh, you should make a long one. It really just depends on, you know, what... And I think and not to pat myself on the back, but I think I've always said this before, which is we shouldn't aim for a certain duration of podcast. We should just say, we should aim for the point that we can get our point across. So it's like to say something and to just let it go. Right. And it's like to say, have everything said about what we want to say about that. And if it runs longer than an hour, then it does. And if it runs shorter than an hour because we don't have much to say, then it does. It's just like, that's how it should be.
I agree.
And that's, I mean, I realize that I just cut out one of my topics tonight because it was a really big topic. But that's because it's technical and it's big and you guys, it needs to, I was going to talk to you, you know, now that you're getting your new house, I'm going to talk to you about my Tableau TV, but we'll do that on the next show.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm interested. We'll talk about it next week, but we got a Android Shield.
Yes, I know.
And also we're not doing the cable, like, right, I said before. So,
got it.
Yep.
Anyway, Adam, that is that. We'll talk about it next week. You know what we didn't say tonight, and I really wish we should have said that at the beginning of the show, is that every Saturday night, on Pride 48 at 10 p.m. Eastern time. We're streaming this bitch. Like, we're doing this in front of a live chat room audience. You might have heard us referring to them earlier. I know I didn't have you read the roll call earlier, and some people have left. But you can, if you want to, just take a stab of it, Adam. Who's in the chat room still?
Well, I know we have Scotty Battler. We have Lamont Cranston. We had Archer. We have Faye Driver. Discord, I'm not sure who's actually on and not. We had Gay Trucker at one point, Law V.
We also,
Gayish Mike is playing World of Warcraft, probably.
We also had, what's his name, Musing Mark. He was in here earlier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Musing Mark as well.
I'm sorry. I should have done a better job of writing it down, but I didn't. But there you go.
It's all right.
But yeah, if you want to, oh, and George in Atlanta was here. Thank you, chat room. So yeah, if you want to hang out with us in the chat room, then, you know, just go to pride48.com on Saturday evenings, sometime, you know, right near 10 o'clock. We start at around 10, but we don't actually start the show until, you know, 10:30-ish, 10:40-ish.
So. I feel like the ones that are no longer in the chat room are those that would like Quibi.
Exactly. They want that 10-minute content kind of a thing there. It's like, what you gonna do? Are you going to end the show? Am I going to end the show?
We have a news quiz.
Oh my God. Totally forgot about that. Jesus Christ. All right. Got it.
News game. It's a news game. It's a news game. Questions really ask.
Guys, that's my 1920s radio voice.
News game. Hubba, hubba.
Good job.
Hubba, In the book, that's in the bar.
All right, it is the news game. You know what, Adam? I was about to say the title of last week's show and just play that. I was going to start. I was ready to end the show.
Well, I was also thinking, gosh, he's talking about another topic, but usually those two segments bump right up to each other. I think you were. Now it makes sense to me because, you know, apparently you were also born in 1920. You're not remembering anything.
That's what it is. All right. You know what? Here's what we got is we got a news quiz. We play this every single week. It is the New York Times news quiz, which comes out on Fridays, I think. But that is if you want to play along with us. It has in the past been 11 questions. Is it 11 questions?
It is 11
questions this evening of things that have happened in the news this week. I will try to get it without getting the multiple choice. Each one of these is a multiple choice, so I can ask Adam to give me the multiple choice answers. There we go. So let's see how we do this week on the news quiz.
All right. The first coronavirus vaccine to be tested in people appears to be safe and able to stimulate an immune response against the infection. Its manufacturer announced this week. Oh, sorry. That was bad phrasing. What is the name of the company?
Moderna, I believe, is the name of the drug company.
Is that your final answer?
That is my
answer?
Final answer, Adam.
Yes, it is. Moderna. They announced it on Monday. Yes.
It's so weird because that came out on Monday. But then today, there was a story about the fact that it's no one's been able to get data out of them to independently verify what they're saying. And so it's kind of was it just a move to get the stock price bumped up there? We don't know.
Nobody knows. All right. Number two, a pledge of $2 billion was made to the World Health Organization. By which country?
Well, it certainly wasn't the U.S. I believe that was China, as Trump is wont to say. China.
Why, yes, it was. China. President
Jinping, I believe.
Xi Jinping announced on Monday that China would donate $2 billion toward fighting the coronavirus and dispatch doctors and medical supplies to Africa and other countries. Maybe we need some in the U.S., I'm just saying. All right, number three. In the biggest casualty so far amid the retail closures in the U.S. tied to the coronavirus pandemic, which 118-year-old department store declared bankruptcy?
Oh, this is JCPenney. I know this because my grandmother used to make these. Any time that we would go to a restaurant to eat, I would salt something on my plate before eating it, my grandmother would drag out this little anecdote. She'd go, you know what? JCPenney used to never hire anyone that would salt their food before they tasted it. He would take them to lunch, and if they salted their food before he tasted it, then he wouldn't hire them. Oh. It was one of those stupid things. So it's the day that I read this story about JCPenney's declaring bankruptcy, I shot my brother a text. It's going, I wonder if the bankruptcy people have salted the money before they ate it.
Well, yes, you are correct. Yes, and I feel like JCPenney's been hanging on the edge for a long time.
No shock whatsoever. That's like going like, in a shocking move, cable TV has become irrelevant.
But I do have a fondness for JCPenney because we shopped there growing up. Yeah. And
did you shop in the Husky section?
Sometimes. Depending. Okay, President Trump announced that he was firing Steve Linnick above. Mr. Linnick led the office of the Inspector General at which federal department?
He did it on behalf of the Secretary of State, so I'm going to assume that it was state.
It is. Secretary of State. And yeah, he ousted him.
He ousted him because he was investigating the Secretary of State, yes.
All right. Number five. What was the name of the cyclone that hit parts of India and Bangladesh this week?
Fred?
Would you like some multiple choice?
Hi, I'm Carl. I'll be your cyclone this week. Yes, what are my choices?
Yas.
Yas, queen.
I want to say Yas. Berevi, Mfan, or Fanny? Or Fanny? I don't know. F-A-N.
No, really... we'll go with Fanny. yes, Fanny. These are cyclones? A cyclone?
One of these is a cyclone.
One of these things is not like the others. I'm going to go with, you know what? Fuck it.
Okay, well, let's look. Because I have no clue. I would guess Berevi. But let me see.
Yes.
No, you are incorrect. But I was also incorrect. Oh. So it's Mfan.
It's Fanny.
Mfan. Mfan. A-M-P-H-A-N.
Are you all right? Mfan.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Johnson & Johnson announced that it would discontinue North American sales of a version of which product?
They're discontinuing talc, which is their baby powder. So is it baby powder?
It is baby powder.
I don't know why in 2020 they're deciding to discontinue talc.
Well, apparently it's bad for you.
Yeah, but it's not like this is new information. So it's just like, but you stuck to your guns this entire time and now suddenly you're just going to fold now?
So what's in that gold bond stuff?
That gold bond medicated powder? I don't know.
It's not talc.
You know who would know would be Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone. I'm sure he would know that. He's a big Gold Bond user. I'm going to goldbond.com. Let's see.
My grandfather always used to powder his balls. And I remember fondly using Johnson & Johnson baby powder when I was younger. Smells wonderful. Has that nice baby bottom
baby. The ingredients is, talc is the number one ingredient in Gold Bond Ultimate Men's Essential Body Powder.
So, yeah. So other people use talc? It. I mean, other companies
zinc
use it
zinc oxide,
as well.
Fragrance, sodium bicarbonate, aloe, bardonesis, leaf extract, tocipherol acetate, acaya senegal gum. I have no idea. Mint.
Does it cause cancer? What was it that talcum powder does? Okay. Well, forget about it.
It probably causes the coronavirus.
President Ashraf Ghani and his chief rival, Abdullah, reached a power sharing deal in which country?
Those are made up names.
That Ashraf Ghani and Abdullah.
They sound Middle Eastern. What are my choices? What are my choices, sir?
Afghanistan, Kazakhstan, Libya, or Pakistan?
Okay. All right. Afghanistan.
I have no idea, so let's look together. Yes, it is Afghanistan.
Oh, Jesus.
Afghanistan's months-long election dispute reached a resolution last Sunday when Mr. Ghani gave Mr. Abdullah the leading role in the country's peace process with the Taliban and the right to appoint the right to appoint half of the cabinet. All right, number eight. A top official from which entertainment company resigned to become the chief executive of TikTok, the video sharing app?
It was Jeffrey Katzenberg. He left Quibi. Disney guy. What was the question?
You don't need to know the name.
No, it was Walt Disney.
Disney. Yeah. Okay.
He was the guy there. He was in charge of Disney Plus.
Yes, it is Disney. And the guy's name was Kevin Mayer. All right. U.S. law enforcement officials said a Saudi Air Force cadet who killed three sailors at a Florida military base last year had been in regular contact with which group?
He's been talking to Al-Qaeda. To Al-Qaeda.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer. It's always Al-Qaeda.
It is Al-Qaeda, yes.
It's like back when you used to play Trivial Pursuit and like the answer to the entertainment ones was always like George Carlin or something. It's just like, yeah, it's just like, it's always, Al-Qaeda is always the answer.
All right, number 10. An underwater salvage company was granted approval to cut into the wreckage of the Titanic to try to recover what?
James Cameron's monocle that he dropped when he was down there. Oh no, it was the pendant, the diamond pendant that the lady threw overboard at the end of the movie. That was probably what they were doing. No, Adam, they were down there to, why are you giving me a look like that?
I don't know the answer. Oh. I just feel like that was a movie prop.
That was a movie prop. Yeah, that's not the actual answer. What do you call those? You know what I'm saying? Telegraph.
Is that what we're gonna go with?
It was like a prototype telegraph thing. What are my choices?
An anchor.
No.
Human remains. No. Jewelry.
Yes, it was that. It was that pendant.
Or a telegraph.
Yes, it was a telegraph.
What was
the information on that?
A federal judge ruled on Monday that the company RMS Titanic could conduct a salvage operation this summer in the wreckage of the ship in an effort to retrieve a Marconi telegraph. The radio transmitter could unlock some of the secrets about a missed warning message and distress calls sent from the ship, said the company, which obtained the salvage rights to the wreckage in the 1980s.
Because I when I read that, I immediately went to that stupid Starship song. Marconi plays the mamba.
Oh,
listen,
I don't know
to
that.
The radio. Don't so you remember we built this?
You were going to ask me why do I not read these ahead of time? No, I don't read them ahead of time.
No, I said, did you not read the news this week? That was in the.
No, I tell you, okay. I avoid news.
Well, this has nothing to do with coronavirus.
No, I know, but I mean, I don't read the news. Generally, I would get it on either, unless Google, like, you know, in my list gives me articles. Yeah. Sometimes I read those.
Oh, you know, I have an add-on that blocks things because, like, I don't watch some shows until, like, the day after. So I have, like, this thing that, like, on the news page, anything that has the word Survivor or, like, RuPaul in it gets blocked. So it's, like, it just makes it, it's, like, redacted. So I don't get spoiled by a headline.
Okay, number 11. The new book, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, tells the story of a character named Coriolanus Snow.
Coriolanus, yeah, he was.
I probably said it wrong. And is a prequel to which best-selling series?
Oh, the Hunger Games series. He was the original bad guy in the Hunger. He was the one that was played by Donald Sutherland, I believe, in the movie.
It is the Hunger Games. And you got 10 out of 11.
10 out of 11. That's I think that's better than last week, right?
I don't know.
But you don't have a spreadsheet and keep track of my scores and see what is. All right. That's right. All right, it's the news game. We play that every week, and if you would you can't participate in it, but you can play. You could have played along with this.
You did better than 80% of those who took the quiz. Well, you know, they could. They could go to nytimes.com, search for news quiz,
and then take it.
And they could pull up the Saturday quiz. That's the one that I read. Okay. Or the Friday quiz. Yeah, the Friday quiz.
And then they could play along with it. Yeah, played along with it. Probably should have known this before. Now back up. Because you'll get 100% now because you know all the answers.
Yeah.
But next week, you can do that. You can play along with it. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, now the original question still stands here, Adam.
Well, that's not how this show works. Well, we don't just get to the end of the show and go, hey, you know.
No, that's not how the show works.
But I
after a couple
Daniel,
of weeks.
Listen. When you're trying to insert a title. Yes. And
posthumously,
you know,
as it were, yes.
Posthumously, like what I did last week, or what you did last week when you wanted to insert the title, and it was a little tight. You had to work really hard to get it inserted. You lubed it up and slid it right in.
Did Dubious Intent is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line.
479-221-9393.
Or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com.
I've never, for 15 years, I've never read anything there. It's just not, my brain doesn't, I don't know. I mean, I just, you were probably pointing at me. Yeah,
well, welcome back to those of you on iTunes, because apparently we weren't listed there, and Adam has fixed that maybe now, so I don't know.
Not yet. But
welcome back, those of you. If you're new, come join us any Saturday night here on Pride 48, 10 p.m., and you can get the entire pre-show and the post-show and all that fun stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and if we made you okay with your sexuality, write an email and let us know.
Good night, David.
Good night, Chet.
Is it Chet? Do I say good night, Chet?
You
Shit.
Do.
Why have I gotten that wrong twice now? I just
I don't know.